Again, thank you for the honor of being here with you today, especially for this time of sharing in our Lord's Supper. As we get ready to hear the gospel today, let us pray for guidance. Lord God, from the beginning of time, your Spirit has been active in moving over the face of the deep and creating this world that we so enjoy and love. Your Spirit has moved through the lives of your people of all generations, from Adam and Eve and Seth and Cain and Abel, through Abraham, through Isaac and Jacob, through Joseph, through the prophets, through your Son. We ask now that your Spirit be present with us as he promised that it would bring comfort, it would bring authority, and he, the Spirit, would bring us truth. We pray for that truth now as we hear these words. In his name, amen. Today's passage is a little longer, perhaps, than you're used to. We do enjoy hearing the one of the accounts of Jesus sharing Passover meal with his disciples before his arrest and death. But I think we need to hear what happens after the meal as well. Let us listen to these words from Matthew's version. All the gospel writers have a version, and including the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. Now, believe it or not, the Apostle Paul, even though he comes after the Gospels, was the first one to write this down about 15 to 18 years before the Gospel writers even wrote their Gospels. It's a little tidbit to put in your mind there for a while. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" Now, this was a good question because there's over a million Jewish men in Jerusalem because the Passover is a required time for them to return to Jerusalem from wherever they live and to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. So there's not much room. And Jesus merely says, "Go into the city to a certain man." Who's that? "And say to him," but Jesus knows who this certain man is, and he knows what the response will be. "Go to him, say, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" Nothing like an open invitation. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. Then when it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to ask him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me." Now, this doesn't give any more clues, my friends, because all of the elements of the Passover were served in bowls. And usually the haraseth, which was the symbol of the mortar that they used for making bricks in Egypt, would have the matzah or the unleavened bread and a bitter root attached to it, dipped in that mixture. Many people at the same time, so that doesn't give him much more clues. But he does say, "The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." And Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And he replied, "You said it." Now, while they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread. I like better to use just the term bread. He took bread because it was unleavened bread, It wasn't a loaf per se, it was flat like pita. And after blessing it, he broke it. It literally breaks because unleavened bread is like a very, very dry pizza crust. It literally breaks. He said, "Take and eat this now." After he'd said the traditional prayers of blessing and thanksgiving, "This is my body." Then he took the cup. Usually this was the cup after supper in the other versions, and the cup after supper in the Passover meal is called the cup of blessing. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. On the way, Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written that I will strike the shepherd, the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." I love Peter. Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Let's see how they fare. Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Now sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be grieved and agitated. He said to them, "I'm deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." And he came back to the disciples and found them sleeping. Now remember, they'd had four big cups of wine for dinner. And so he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour? Stay awake now and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit I know indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came back and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words, came back to the disciples, found them sleeping, and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Get up and see, the hour is now at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's be going. You see, my betrayer is here right now." This is the word of the Lord. This is a table of freedom. Did you ever think of that? The meal that Jesus is celebrating with his disciples was one that God asked the people of Israel to celebrate every year and tell their children and their children's children the story of their release from slavery in Egypt. You know the story as well as I do. They'd gone down there when Joseph was second in command in Egypt, and they were treated like everybody else in Egypt for the greatest long time of over 200 years, and everything was great. And then it says, a different Pharaoh came into power, a different family who did not know Joseph, and suddenly they looked at all these thousands of people who had come down to live in the Delta area there and were doing quite well and said, this is a great workforce. We've got tombs to build. We've got great temples to build. So this would be a great amount of people to help out. And so those people became enslaved for over 200 years. But God had different ideas. He heard their cries for help. He heard them crying out to be free, and he sent Moses and Aaron, his mouthpiece, because Moses swore he couldn't talk straight, to talk to Pharaoh and try to convince him to let the people go. Well, now Pharaoh and his family had been in business there for a long time, and this was a great workforce, up to almost 2 million people at that time. How do you let something like that go? It would ruin the economy. It would ruin his kingdom. So God has some persuaders in mind. You remember the 10 plagues that God provided, and Pharaoh was not impressed by any one of them, the first 9. And God felt like, okay, we got to hit him where he hurts. And God's last plague was the death of the firstborn in Egypt, which included even the animals. Did you know that? Firstborn. Pharaoh lost his firstborn son. Now he was open to hear what Moses and Aaron had to say and what God was trying to say through them, and he let the people go. But God knew that Pharaoh would change his mind real quick. So he told the people, get dressed for a journey. Kill a lamb, a young lamb, as a sacrifice to me. Take the blood of that lamb, put it over your doorposts and down on the lintels. And when I send the angel of death, that angel of death will pass over your house. That's where we get the word Passover, Pascha, the passing over of the doorposts. The people were dressed for the journey. They had eaten a lamb meal. He said, don't put leavening or yeast in the bread because you won't have time for it to rise before you have to leave. So that's why it's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because they didn't have time for the bread to rise. And God was right, because the people were able to get out of town and get on the move toward the wilderness in plenty of time. But Pharaoh changed his mind. You remember the story at the Red Sea where they're crossing across on the dry land in a miraculous situation, and Pharaoh's army is hot on their heels and gets swallowed up by the waves. God said, remember this event. Tell the story to your children. Remembering is part of this meal. Jesus said, when you do this, remember me, as he changed some of the meaning of some of the elements. He was using the elements. He was sharing the Passover meal. Isn't it amazing to think about that the Passover meal always occurs right at the time of the vernal equinox, right at the time when spring is beginning to bud, when new life is beginning, as a celebration of what God has done in their past history. And in that meal, he takes the unleavened bread, which I said is quite brittle, and after saying the traditional prayers of blessing and thanksgiving that are normal in a Haggadah service of Passover, he literally breaks it and he said, this is my body. You don't know it yet, but this is what's going to happen to my body. In Greek, when they use the word is, it has a sense of future. So I always like to say the translation is, this is my body which will be broken for you, not just tomorrow on the cross, but each time you gather here. I am going to be your sacrifice for you. I'm present here. My body's here. Remember it and be nurtured by it as you take this into your body. Then he takes the cup of blessing, and he says, this cup of blessing, the third cup of wine in the meal of the Passover, after the meal itself is finished, this cup, he said, the blessing is the new covenant God's making with you through me. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, we say, we remember Christ's sacrifice for us, but I also want to remember, we remember his resurrection and the joy of that for us. So how is it our freedom, this table? We remember because Jesus asked us to remember. Remember the events of that night through the Apostle Paul and the Gospel writers. We have it embedded in our mind probably since we were this big. We know the story. It's a time to give thanks for the gift that's been given to us. You know, one of the earliest words in Greek for this service is Eucharistos, the Eucharist, the time of thanksgiving. We're giving thanks to God, not just for his action in the past history, but the disciples and Jesus, their present history at that meal. And we look forward to a time like with the gospel writer Luke. He says there will be a time we'll all sit down at table in the kingdom of God, and people will come from east and west and north and south and sit at that table. It's kind of amazing, isn't it? This table's no longer just a Passover meal for God's chosen people. It now, as Jesus says, go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'll be with you always. It's everybody's table. It's everybody's history. It's everybody's freedom from the slavery we get into in our own selves. The prayer of confession talked about a lot of that slavery quite well. Now, this table isn't ours. It's the Lord's table. That's why we call it the Lord's Supper. And it's not something that we should feel like we can get really cozy with Jesus right now. That's good. But are we going to stay cozy like that all the time? You and me, Jesus, forever. You did this for me. This is wonderful. I'm going to keep it to myself. No, he says, tell everybody you know. So what are we going to do with the freedom we feel? We're going to tell everybody we know, friends and relatives. I know it's hard. I was taking my wife to a doctor's appointment in Menominee Falls Hospital, and there was an older lady sitting there with her daughter, and she was obviously very nervous. She looked at me indirectly and she said, I'm scared to death. What an opportunity. And I walked on by. I will never forget that woman's face, and I will never forgive myself for having passed up that opportunity. What she needed to hear was that God had her back, and I blew it. May none of us ever blow those situations away. I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.